Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of a man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Well, hello and welcome to the Brad and Bunny Podcast. We are into round one of the playoffs, grand final for the WNBL, semifinals for the NBL. Buddy, what was your highlight of the week?
Well, in the WNBL, it was the return of Jenna O'Hay in game one of the grand final series for Southside. Some 7 weeks after breaking her wrist and having it surgically repaired, she came on and instantly made an impact. I thought it was fantastic to see the Opals captain back on the floor. I did think that Cheryl Chambers coached poorly and didn't manage her minutes very well, because to come back after seven weeks out and play 33 and a half minutes was just a bit too much. And she probably needed to manage Jenna's minutes better in the last quarter so she could have been there for them in the finish. There was a lot of time where Jen was just sort of basically running up and down the floor, not doing a whole lot. But her impact when she came on and her effect on her teammates, I thought was terrific. How about yourself?
Well, I mean, that's a great point. Jenna O'Hay did what Jenna O'Hay always does and played brilliant. But I do agree with you. I'm not sure if that's going to be a good thing for game two as well. She's going to be very sore.
Yeah.
She's going to be really sore after that. Nearly 34 minutes. That's a lot when you haven't played for 6 weeks.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you look at it and you go, well, the couple of minutes that Luella Tomlinson hit the floor, she was good. Amy Clydesdale has been pretty good for him for the last few weeks. Annalee Maley has been pretty. It's almost like Cheryl got a little bit conservative. I've got Jenna back, and Jenna might be the best player in the comp as far as I'm concerned. So I'm just going to play her as though nothing's happened. And I think that was a little bit of an error, a miscalculation. And she needs to manage her minutes better, because Jenna is an impact player. But if you run her into the ground, you know,
Yeah, I agree. Well, my highlight of the week, this is Rebecca Cole, 23 points and 7 rebounds. How good was she? My Southside Flyers, she was awesome, but we lost, Buddy.
I know you lost. you were crying at home in your little...
I was weeping, mate. I was dripping wet.
I heard that you dug out some old New South Wales State of Origin rugby Guernsey with the blue and white to try and sit there looking like a Southside fan or something, because you're too cheap to actually buy some merchandise from the Flyers. Yeah, I know. I know you were doing it harder. Well, I've got my niece playing for Southside, and I thought she had a pretty decent game too, Sarah Blitzars. And for it to go to the wire, lose 82-80, and then the thing was to not get a shot up. You know, for that last play when Leilani Mitchell brought it down and tried to work the screen and roll at the top of the key with Mercedes Russell and driven and basically hoped for a foul. Yeah, that was a pretty poor ending. And for Canberra to go into Dandenong and win game one, game two tonight in Canberra, geez, and there'll be a massive crowd there.
It'll be Southside. Awesome. We will talk about that in our wrap, but 11 points for Southside in that fourth quarter. Tell me about your NBL highlight of the week.
Well, I reckon they were the game twos, because both game twos were so interesting in terms of the teams that lost game one. So Melbourne lost to Sydney from the unlosable position. And so your question is, what will their mentality be going into the next game? Are they just... Are Sydney going to come in thinking, well, you know, you gave us your best shot and we still beat you, so we're just going to roll over you? What was Melbourne's mental approach going to be? They were phenomenal. They were absolutely phenomenal. 45-point win, 125 points, hold Sydney to 7 points, go on a 38-zip run. That has never been done. I've been following this league since the first ball was shot way back in 1979, Brad, and I have never
seen... Did you say 1908?
1892, isn't that when the game was invented? I'm the one that suggested to James Naismith, why don't you cut the bottom out of those peach baskets and then the ball could just fall through? You wouldn't have to keep getting the ladder out. Yeah, I'm just saying.
No worries, buddy, we'll do
it. Yeah, whatever you say, son. No, really, I have seen teams get killed before. There's been 60-point margins in this league. These things have happened. But nobody has gone on a 38-0 run. You know, people have scored 25 and someone's finally made a basket from the other team, still lose by 50. But that was phenomenal. The way Melbourne responded, they have seized the initiative. And the same in game two in the Cairns-Perth series. Perth, Perth would have been feeling pretty good that they got out of jail, 108-107 in overtime. But they needed Bryce Cotton to score 42 points. He showed why he's the MVP. It was up to DJ Newell to show why he was Defensive Player of the Year. And he did. Held Bryce to 11 in game two. Again, here's a team that could have basically folded along the dotted lines after losing in that manner. Instead, they came out and that 11-point margin absolutely flattered Perth. So game twos were my highlights, the way those teams responded and have changed the momentum and the dynamic of both of those series. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, 100%. That was a very good wrap. I'll give my thoughts on the Kings and the NBL when we get to the wrap. I will talk about my highlights, and that's going to be game ones, right? Those game ones, forget the crowds and it, like forget the games and the win. They were two of the greatest games of basketballs that I have seen. Yep. They were so up there, like big dagger shots after big dagger. And yes. I mean, the Cairns-Perth game was just outstanding. Cotton and Machado, I just didn't want it to end, right? It was just, you know, one of those games, please don't end.
Yep.
And then the next day, I was, you know, obviously privileged enough to be commentating sideline there for the Kings. And I kid you not, buddy, I can say I've been going to Kings games since what I was, 1985 when they went from Supersonics, then 87 they became the Kings, and I was there as a kid, and then 94 was training, and then 95 made the team. And I've been through some amazing games, like what I've seen as a spectator and as a player being both, and then lucky enough to be an assistant coach in championship-winning teams. I don't think I've seen as much noise in a venue than what I saw. On that other night, I remember one game in Townsville, and Townsville was always great. And I remember I'm playing up there, and we're playing against great players, and Townsville had that really good team. And I was sitting on the bench in a timeout, and I was on the court, so I came off and I sat on the bench, and I could not hear Alan Black in front of me. He was the coach then. Now he is down on his knee in the timeout, and I couldn't hear that noise. Right, it was that loud, and this game on the weekend was like that. When Didi Lazada hit that three in the corner where he up faked, I don't know if you remember it, and Shaley ran white by him, and then he hit that three, the house lifted.
Yep.
It was the most greatest noise I've ever seen. So for my highlight, the atmosphere in both of those venues, one, coming across on TV in Perth, and two, physically being there in Sydney, that was just unbelievable, buddy.
It must have been, and you could even tell through the television, as that momentum started to build, as it became, you know, they're 16 down now, that it's less and it's less, and they're coming, and now it's single digits. You could feel the actual, you know, even in my lounge room, I could feel the noise meter just going up as the crowd sensed what was happening and sensed that if they got involved actively, verbally, really loudly, that would absolutely help, and it did. And I'm taken back to 94 in game one of the grand final between the Adelaide 36ers and the North Melbourne Giants.
North Melbourne Giants, DMAC. I remember that one, yes.
Well, when the 36ers came back from 19 down to force that game to overtime, in the two-minute break between the end of regulation and the beginning of overtime, that place was packed out. The Clipsal Powerhouse, as it was then, now Titanium Security Arena, was packed out to the. There were more people in there than was allowed, really, because it was supposed to be 7,800, and there were well over 8,500 people in there on the concourse, up in the bar, everywhere. The noise in there was so loud, Brett Brown had to take his team from the bench to the middle of the court so that he could scream at them so that they could hear him, and they still couldn't. And I was. The people I was standing next to, I was yelling at them from a foot away, and nobody could hear a sound because it was so loud in there. It was phenomenal. Yeah. So when those things happen, crowds, if that they have to recognize, and I think they do, Brad, they can influence a game. No question. Oh, they can influence a game.
That lifted the Kings for sure. I mean, you're giving me goosebumps. Is that the one where DMAC did the turnaround on Brett Maher? Yeah. Yep. That gave me, you know, like that was – They just give me goosebumps. Another one that you'll remember as well, and I remember back in the Kindome, Dwayne McLean in like, it would have been 91, 92, or maybe it was 93 or something, and he's come down the left-hand side and did a runner over Mark Bradkey. Actually, it couldn't have been 93 because he was in the Tigers, so that would have been...
It was earlier than that, but yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and I just remember, because, you know, being a young guy at the entertainment centre, the place lifted. But I do want to get back to your comment where you said you felt the atmosphere on your couch at home. Was that because you sit on there with plastic on? Because I know you like to cover your lounge with all plastic and stuff because, you know, you started basketball in 1908. I'm just worried the plastic get in the way of the noise. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it makes a lot of very strange noises. I only have the plastic when I'm home alone.
That's not the plastic making strange noises, mate.
That's Home Alone stuff. I only have the plastic on when I'm home alone. I don't want anyone else to bear witness to anything that goes on in that lounge room.
There's our highlights of the week.
WNBL rap time.
Well, the WNBL, what a series. We said it all from day one, Southside versus Capitals. I really thought Southside would win in that game. We know Capitals 182-80. Let's look to game two tonight, Boddy.
Well, I thought the Southside had the momentum in the last quarter, got about six up. I remember Warren Smith on the call saying, oh, this could be a blowout. And I'm just slapping my forehead going, mate, it's six up. That's not much. But in the context of the game, it probably was. But a couple of good stops by Canberra, a couple of great scores. Olivia Apupa, sensational, just sensational. And when Kia Nurse took that three-pointer and missed, and Apupa, at 165 centimetres, runs down the rebound, passes it back to Nurse. Nurse misses again from three-point, bounces back out. Apupa runs it down again, gets it back to Nurse. Nurse hits a three. That's the moment I sort of thought, you know what? These guys are going to win because they're just wanting it a fraction more in this moment. You know, games are about moments, as you well know, Brad. There's those key out. And that was the moment for me when I thought, wow, Canberra just wants us a little bit more right now. And I think by winning in Melbourne, they've definitely set themselves up to wrap it up in two.
Now everyone will have their say, you know, like if the Capitals don't win it here, there's no way that they can win game three, you know, all of that stuff.
Yep.
I just think Southside are going to get it. I just think there's... You look at all the teams, like you can talk NBL, WNBL, when you've got that, you know, it's win or go home, as the saying always goes, right?
Yep.
You know, win or go home. You know, Southside have got that now, where Capitals have got one in the bank. And I just think it will go to game three. And I think it's what this season deserves as well, because it's been an outstanding season from the girls. And I hope for that, for both of them, it goes to game three. But I'm sure for the Capitals, they'd love to wrap it up, obviously. Yeah.
I'm with you. The interesting stat in this is that both of these teams have beaten the other one in the other one's gym.
The venue, that's right.
Yeah.
Like they're not scared.
No, Southside beat Canberra. Southside beat Canberra in Canberra. So there's no great qualms about playing in the venue. So it's just a momentum shift I felt, because I really thought in that last quarter that Southside was just starting to maybe get away. And then Canberra said no, and they came home with a wet sail. So very interesting. I hope you're right, because I'd like to see three games in this series. I think it's worthy of three games.
I agree.
And then you can get your bloody rugby top on, your little New South Wales State of Origin rugby top, and run around your lounge room.
I'll just wear my Flyers singlet to the to the State of Origin game. It's the same colours, mate.
You know, Canberra's pretty similar too. But anyway, let's move on.
No, they're too close. Six players really are playing for both teams, right?
Yeah.
So it is going to be a nutrition thing. They've had plenty of gap, though, plenty of time off. I reckon the only thing is O'Hay going to be okay backing up? How'd the hand pull up? How the body pull up? And, you know, she'll be getting massages and doing everything that she needs. But she will be better for that run.
Of course,
she still shot 60% from the field, so let's not. But I know what you mean. It's that one step slower,
she needed a break. That's all. She just needed a break. And they have, because she's been absent for this period, and they've still been winning games. They've still beaten Adelaide, and you know, knocked them out in the semis. So it's not like they can't play without her. And I just thought Cheryl got a little bit conservative, and went away from a couple of players that have really come through for her. And had she persisted with them, she might have got those five or six minutes. That's all Jenna needed. And then I reckon Jenna would have come home just as strongly as she started. So, if they address that.
No sitting on the fence. Who you got? I got Flyers. Shock horror. Who you got?
Well, I'm going to go with Canberra, but I liked what you said before, that O'Hay would be okay. Olay.
Drop the mic, buddies on. That's the WNBL rap.
It's NBL rap time.
Well, who would have thought what happened in the NBL? Perth win at home, Sydney win at home. We said that.
Yep.
You then go to Cairns, and we thought, I think Cairns can win there. They play well, and geez, they gave Perth a hit in game one, didn't they? They threw everything bar the kitchen sink at them. Melbourne had the game one, body. That was done.
Yeah, 16 up. Minutes.
Done, right? And then game two. Wow. So let's just, we'll come back to that one. My head's still shaking, right? It's what
shaking.
It's 36
That's
hours.
A good word. Oh, mate, shaking but, and staking.
36 hours since the game. And anyway, let's just talk Perth Cairns first. We know who won game one. Game two, obviously, Cameron was just unbelievable. I thought the whole of Cairns was unbelievable. They did everything they needed to do. Who wins game three, buddy?
Cairns does.
Wow.
And I'll tell you why. Because game one, Perth needed 42 points from Bryce Cotton to win that game. They needed 10 threes from Bryce Cotton just to win that game by a point in overtime. So this is what I figure is going to happen. They're going to come out. The Wildcats are going to come out. They're going to have 13,000 people roaring the hell out of the place. They're going to come out physical. They're going to try and intimidate Cairns off their game. That's what they're going to do. But unless, you know, we said there might be 8 games left for Perth, and I predicted Tarico White would play well in 5 of them. Well, so far we've got 2 down and there's still no Tarico White. It's basically been Bryce Cotton and Nick Kay and a little bit of Clint Stein. You know, that's all they've been. Now, so I expect them to come out and physically try to intimidate Cairns. Cairns will weather that. I mean, they got a guy called Nate Jawai. It's pretty hard to physically intimidate him. I think they will weather that. And unless Bryce Cotton again goes off for some sort of extraordinary tally, they're clutching at straws a little bit. You know, I think the Taipans can do it. Not with me.
And I love what you're thinking. Perth to win it. Perth will win it. I just I look at that and I see the team, Bryce Cotton, 42 points on 25 shots in game one.
That's what they 42. Needed to win the game.
That's what this team's built for.
Yeah.
That's what this team in game two, only 12 shots, 11 points. Anytime that guy, and I'm gonna stick with him because I said it all year with the MVP. Anytime that guy doesn't have what we class as his good game, and let's be honest, it wasn't a great game for him.
No, Newbill did a great job, and so did the entire Cairns defense.
100%. He comes out banging the next game. He will do that. I have complete faith in him. It wouldn't surprise me if they start Damian Martin, right? Yeah. I just think they may want to get that little defensive presence there because I'm a big fan of Mitch Norton, but I just think, you know, it's game time.
They've got to adjust. Yeah. They've got to adjust. That's a damn good adjustment, that would be.
Yeah, and I think that they could do Tarico White. Oh, man, I hope he does something because everyone's just sort of sitting back waiting. But I do believe Nick Kay only had 10 points off 12 shots. So I can hear everything you're saying. I see what you're coming from, but Perth to win it for me.
All right, and here's what I believe will be the determining factor, the officiating crew. Because if they decide, we're going to throw a couple of quick fouls on DJ Newbill playing defense on Bryce Cotton, it changes the whole complexion of the game immediately. Mm. If they're going to throw a couple of quick fouls on Miles Plumley, changes the complexion. So if all things being equal and the referees just call it square and no one does anything particularly stupid, because occasionally players do pick up stupid fouls and you sort of slap your forehead. If that doesn't happen, I still think Cairns will weather and will get up. But the umpiring will be very, very important in the context of this one game.
No, very important. Look, no arguments. Great points. Great points that you make. All right. So Perth have got through. We're not listening to what you're saying. Doesn't matter, right?
It's going to be a Cairns-Melbourne Championship Series.
Can you believe that? Cairns get home court advantage. How funny would that be from a team that came last year? How good would that be? Anyway,
Cairns is everybody's second team.
Yeah, they are. I agree with that. I agree. Yeah. And, for some, you know, they just love them, and I agree with that. Let's talk game one of Sydney, and I am putting off the debacle that they call game two, all right? Sydney... didn't really, they look completely out of sync. And I'm going to throw something at you. They won 86-80 on the back of a 26-11 fourth quarter and really on the back of, I think, probably 20 minutes, 20 in that last 6 minutes or whatever.
Yep.
But I want to ask you something. Has it come back to bite the Kings with all the injuries and now trying to get the rotations?
Oh, look, that is a really, really valid point. I don't know how many people are addressing that, but sort of slipping Kevin Lish back in, getting Craig Moller back in, you know, I don't know that they're as settled as they were. And having Luzada and Bogut out, I think that's definitely a factor, because I don't know whether Will Weaver, you know, monitors minutes and decides, you know, this guy's got to play this much and this one's going to play that much, because a lot of the substitution pattern that I see seems to mirror that, that, okay, I'm going to give so-and-so a run there. And if you're trying to give players a run when you're winning a championship, I don't know that's necessarily a very good strategy.
Yeah.
Then you could say, well, top of the league for 20 straight rounds. So shut the hell up. It's working.
Yeah.
Don't, if it's not,
and that's
broke,
a great point
that
you make, because it's not the natural thing. Like, you know, we've seen Will Weaver, when a Casper Ware hits two threes, righto, you're a sub.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where most people turn around and go, mate, how can you take him out now?
Just ride that till it stops.
But then his argument is, mate, I haven't been off the top of the ladder all year. We've won game one. You can argue how you like it, but we got it done. But then game two was a debacle. So I'll go back, a change needs to be made. I know you think this as well. Brad Newley needs to come in the starting five.
Cook's to the bench, Newley to the starters.
I mean, yep. Tate's been brilliant this year. Brad Newley has been arguably their best player. Take Tate out of it, because Tate is their best player. Brad Newley was brilliant the other night. He had 17 points. He kept them in that game on that second and third quarter where they just needed things to flow. He's been brilliant for them. So I can see that change coming. I don't know. But, they've got to get some more out of some people, don't they?
Like, well, Dean Vickerman made his adjustments. He's brought in Stanton Kidd. He's just done a couple of things. And brilliant. They got the result they wanted. Now, I think Will has to step up. He has to step up. And he's got to recognize that he's a bit in love with Xavier Cooks, to be honest. Maybe that's a holdover from, you know, selecting him for the Boomers team for the World Cup before he got injured. I don't know. But Brad Newley had been giving him a great season. This has been a renaissance season for Brad. He was sort of, I thought last year, he was starting to look like he's getting a little long.
I'll jump in there where you say that, just so our listeners can hear this. Casper Ware was the highest played minutes-wise, 31 minutes and 37 seconds, went 0 of 9 for the three-point line. The second most minutes, Xavier Cooks.
Yeah, well, I think he's a little bit too enamored with Xavier, and Xavier's active and is a good player. I'm not knocking the guy as a player, but I'm saying right now, at this minute, they need to make some adjustments, and that's probably the easiest one to make. Casper Ware, he needs to extract the digit, because they've got to run him off some screens and have Shea Ely bumping into Andrew Bogut a few times, see how many times he likes that, because Shea Ely is wearing Casper like a glove at the moment and is absolutely winning that duel, both games.
Are you a big believer in the plus minus?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. You know what I'm a believer in, Brad? My own eyes. That's what I believe in. I can see what's happening. You know, I don't need someone to hand me a piece of paper and go, oh, look at this. This subtracted from that means this. You know,
your wife told me she used to be a believer in her own eyes.
Yeah, she came home one time when I had the lounge room full of plastic, so let's not go there.
Oh, that's funny. Now, the only reason I say that is I don't believe plus minus at all, but this game showed a very interesting plus minus, right? Andrew Bogut minus 16, Xavier Cooks minus 8, Casper Ware minus 8, Luzada plus 27, Kickett plus 19, Brad Newley plus 5, Sean Bruce plus 8. And you look at that and go, well, that's where the game was won, because those guys were great. Now, I don't like those stats, right? Because, you know, like... Andrew Bogut was minus 16, but the guy had 10 rebounds. Yep. You know what I mean? And he only played 22 minutes, so it's a little bit tough. But it was just an interesting one that I noticed, and I wanted to ask your thought there. So, look.
Let me ask you a question. Have you heard within the inner sanctum of the Kings, because I know you live there, is Bogut hurt? Because he's just not exerting any influence of consequence at the moment.
Let me say, to get anything out of them is like a vault. Right, you don't hear anything. right? So that they really keep that in-house. And whilst I know people in there, no one's talking. From an outsider, because I'll just say it from an outsider, past years, I was very, very close to that team. And whilst I still am close to the team, I'm like nothing comes out of there. And I don't know if it's, you know, let's not tell Brad because, you know, he's in media and things like that. And he'll talk, you know, I mean, off the record or whatever and all that stuff. But I don't really know what's going on. Now, from someone that doesn't know what's going on in the sector but loves basketball and watching it, man, he doesn't look right.
No, he doesn't. He really does not. And the form, yeah, the form he's in right now, you'd be thinking, are we picking him for the Olympic team?
Well, let me just throw it this way. If he was right, and you've got a 13-year NBA vet that is your starting center for the Boomers, and you played him 22 minutes, how can he be right?
Mm. Yeah.
How can he be right?
Yeah. All right. Who are you picking? Game three.
Sydney at home.
Melbourne.
Sydney at home.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going Sydney Melbourne to ride the momentum.
Yeah.
I'm going for the underdogs in both of them. I'm going for Melbourne and Cairns just because my heart says that would be a lovely final to see.
Oh, I get it. You know, like, but, you know, I'll also say Bogut played 14 minutes in game two, by the way.
Yep.
So he hasn't played many minutes at all. But then again, who would play that many minutes? I do want to touch on game two before we turn around to talk about
come on,
game
three. Mate. We've got to wrap up. People are falling asleep. You know what? I had coffee with a friend of mine the other day, Chris Moraitis. He says he loves listening to our podcast. Just before he goes to bed, he sleeps so soundly.
Well, but hang on. He hasn't finished the podcast yet. He didn't get past hello.
He doesn't get past the WNBL start. The opening, he's already out. But he said he's recommending it as an insomnia.
You know what he reckons? He goes, and you know, it'll be, and here's, boom, gone. That's it. That's all he is. That's the start. Mate,
go on then. Come on.
77-31. 77-31, buddy, in that second and third quarter combined. Abysmal. Abysmal. I don't want to know about it. We move on.
Here comes Nudge's Nasty.
It is social media. I think social media can be such a positive thing in getting the word out and in those suppressed or repressed countries where social media is such an asset to find out what's going on in places. And then social media is the bane also of sportsmen, entertainers, celebrities, just people. When these trolls, these cowards, these keyboard warriors get up and attack sportsmen, and I think and sportswomen. Sorry, no, I don't mean to be gender specific. I think it's disgusting. I think what Melo Trimble copped after game one, when he had 34 points, he had a pretty decent game. It's inconscionable to me that people can get away with this kind of crap. And just, you know, like I said to you a couple of weeks ago, back in the old days, pre-social media, what you do after a game is you go down the pub with a couple of your mates, have a couple of beers, bitch and moan, and then go home and forget about it. Whereas now it's like, oh, here's an opportunity for me to tell that bastard exactly what I think of his performance. So some, you know, sauce-spilling, pie-eating dumbass can get on social media and make a sportsman feel bad about himself or herself. I think that's disgusting. And there should be some sort of checks and balances to be able to prevent that from happening. That's my nasty.
Uh-oh. Rosen's rat luck.
The Sydney Kings 45-point loss. Come on, boys. Come on. That's not pride in the singlet. Now, I'm all for you can lose games. And that thing the other night was like, could not stop the bleeding. I get it. But that is a semi-final game two after you got away with one in game one, that you go into town, what was it, 38-0, buddy?
Yeah, the biggest running 38-0. Biggest streak in the history of the league.
38-0. They were down, what was it, 60-something at one stage?
Yes, 58. It was 97-39, I think.
I mean, come on, that's a grand, sorry, it's a semi-final that you're trying to win for a grand final. Mm-hmm. Now, they may come back and get, I'll tell you what, if they don't win game three, there's going to be some serious questions being asked. What the hell happened in that game?
Yep. What the, and they're questions that should be asked too, just quietly.
I'm still dumbfounded. That's my, I can't talk anymore. That's Rosen's Rattler.
All right, let's pick up on a couple of other quick news items from last week, that there'll be a team playing out of Tasmania in 2021-22. That's been confirmed. If you've been listening to our podcast, you know we addressed this months ago and said we believed it would happen. So very, very happy to see a team back in Tasmania and the league rounded out to 10. Do you reckon that'll change the final system?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, I think they will.
Top five? Or?
Yeah, I think they will. You know, the one I did love years ago that they had is you'd have the top four, but then you'd have the like four versus five. Yeah. Sorry, five versus six. And if you lose, you're out. And then five versus four. I kind of like that way. I think something could change there. But look, absolute kudos to the NBL bringing in Tasmania. You know, AFL's been speaking about it for years. Larry's just come in and gone bang. I saw an interview the other night where they asked him, you know, what happened. He said, that's the beauty of being an owner of the NBL. You can make a decision, make it happen. There's no committee meetings. Bang, get it done. So kudos to the NBL. Yeah. Fantastic effort. Tasmania, who knows what they'll be called. But, you know, it's an outstanding effort. I guess a GM will be announced soon. A coach will be announced. And you expect the lead up to be very similar to what happened with Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. And I, for one, cannot wait. That place rocks down there in Hobart. I've played games there. It's brilliant at the Derwent, and they'll take games around the north as well. Well done, NBL.
Yep. And talking about a coach for them, obviously Joey Wright was in the news late last week for all the wrong reasons. Kevin White was the one who sort of broke confidences and put some things out on social media. You know, Kevin, what do you think his motivation was? I mean, he played for Sydney, played for Illawarra. Joey actually gave him an olive branch, saved his career, brought him here for 2 years, made him co-captain. I was really stunned to see why he come out the way he did.
Yeah, I got to admit, so was I. Look, the one thing I know about Kevin, and I like great guy. Let me put that out there. And I mean, I don't know what other people think. I can only go on me. Great guy, fantastic team guy. You know, really, really keeps teams together. He's all for, you know, the team. I'm sure in his mind he had, I want to do this because I think it's the right thing. I'd have to say that I don't see how airing that in the public helps anyone.
Right.
I don't think it makes Joey look great, but I don't think it makes Kevin look great either. And
that's
and
right. You keep that stuff in house. You do keep that stuff in house.
Yeah. He was obviously extremely frustrated. There were some things said there that was like, wow.
Yeah, but you know what, Brad, seriously now, if I had some of the emails and text messages that I've sent confidentially, privately to people, if that was out in the public forum, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't look very good all of a sudden, you know, because there are things
mate,
you
I hate
say.
To tell you, you don't look very good, so it doesn't matter, mate.
No, you know what I'm saying, though? There
no, you're right.
There,
sorry.
There's things I've got a mate of mine. We often exchange crazy things, say crazy stuff, tongue in cheek.
Right. And I did notice in one of those things, and, you know, I read it differently to other people. And I know I saw Kev's tweet that, you know, was on that chat or whatever. And I saw, you know, Joey saying maybe that was a bit harsh with a smiley face.
Yeah.
So you could take in so many different ways where he was just mucking around. He was joking, but obviously, and that is one, and other people take it differently. And that's one of the things that I even say in my life and you know, with my work and stuff like that. People read things differently. That's where social media, text messaging, emailing is such a bad thing. Because you can try and say it in one way, but it comes out as another. But again, I have to admit, I was shocked. I'll say it. I don't think it really helped Joey, and I don't think it helped Kevin. I don't know who wins out of that. Does Kevin White now go back to Adelaide? He's got another year contract. What are they going to do? How do the players feel about this? Or are they going to think, good on you, mate, thank you?
No, that team was split down the middle by the people that were supporting Joey and the people that weren't. And I think we can see by the noise that's been made as to who was on whatever side. Yeah, it's an ugly thing. Yeah, you got to keep obvious, that stuff in-house. And glad that it's over, hopefully.
Well, it is. And on sad news as well, I should also say Jerome Randall playing his first game overseas did his ACL. It's been confirmed that he's done his ACL. That looked awful. It was a look away one, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
It was up there, not the Paul George type thing, but it was certainly up there with the leg hyperextending. Yes. So our thoughts and prayers go for him. I mean, you know, no one wants to see those injuries. But look, a healthy Adelaide is good for the NBL. You know, they're a great team. You go there and it's a great venue to play in. I just hope they sort it all out. They find a coach that, you know, can take this to another level. They've got some great players. They've got some great players to work on. They get their import mix correct. They'll be right up there. So I know you would think the same thing. You want a healthy and good-looking Adelaide.
I'm hearing Phil Smythe and Kevin Brooks. They're the two names I keep hearing. And on that note, I'll say farewell.
But I want to ask one thing. Could Rupert Sapwell coach that team?
Could Rupert Sapwell?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe. I think Rupert's smart enough to know that his life is away from that aspect of the sport. God, you know, if you want to be a coach, you've got to be prepared to be sacked. You've got to be prepared for all the kind of crap that comes with it.
Brett Maher?
No, Brett doesn't. Brett would have been the coach after Marty Clark, but then Joey got the job, and then Brett decided to go coach in our state league, coaching the Sturt Sabres, and quickly discovered that had he gone into NBL coaching, it would have been the biggest mistake of his career. So,
all right. Okay. Mate, thank you. BOTINAGY, bodynodge.com. What you got this week?
Oh, mainly finals. I mean, that's what it's all about. But also the Opals. I wrote a piece yesterday saying that I don't think we should get too gung-ho about they're definitely getting a medal. If they come back from that Olympics with a medal, same with the Boomers, if they come back with a medal, we should be doing cartwheels and having parades down the middle of Sydney and Melbourne.
And that is why he is the best rider in the world. BOTINAGY. BodyNodge.com. Body, thanks for joining us. Everyone, all three of you, seven of you, 20 of you, I don't know anymore, Body.
Wake up, those of you that are sleeping.
Yeah, subscribe, like, and review. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks so much. Go for the semi-finals in the NBL. Good luck to the WNBL Grand Finals, and we'll see you next week.